All I want is for you to be glorified, you to be lifted high. Come on, won't you give God just one more hand clap of praise in the house today? Won't you turn with me, Genesis, the sixth chapter, Genesis, the sixth chapter. Genesis, the sixth chapter. Starting at that ninth verse. Genesis, the sixth chapter, the ninth verse, it reads us. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. And if you would go with me to Genesis, the ninth chapter, 12th verse. Genesis 9:12 says, and God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. Church, say amen. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, I ask that you would join me in a word of prayer as we share in a sermon subject today, build the boat. Build the boat. Turn to your neighbor, just tell them, neighbor, build the boat. Build the boat. Turn to somebody else, tell them, neighbor, build the boat. Come on, let us look to the Lord. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Thank you for your hand and for your power, your grace and your love. Now, God, grab a hold of this, your humble servant, and use me, God, to your honor, to your glory. Send fire from heaven. Send the preacher, send the Holy Ghost. And we'll be sure to give your name the honor, the praise, and the glory. God, please save somebody today. Heal somebody. Deliver somebody. Set somebody free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Let me just turn to somebody and tell them, neighbor, build the boat. Build the boat. Build the boat. It's interesting in current kind of Christian culture, but also just in the world, that Christians seem to have lost their focus on something that used to be central in Christianity. Christians seem to have lost their focus on this concept of what we call personal piety. Christians seem to have lost their focus on the fact of it being important how you live as an individual. What you find is that everybody gets so caught up in kind of what they can receive from the Bible, what they can receive from the book. They also forget that there are a lot of instruction on how you're supposed to live or what you're supposed to do in the book. That folks want to hold on to the promises, but they don't want to hold on to the piety. They want to hold on to the victory, but they don't want to hold on to the lifestyle. That folks want everything given to them, but don't want to be held to any sense of accountability in their own personal lifestyle. Have I got a witness in the house? And that's why you find that there would actually probably be more Christians if it wasn't for Christians. That's why you find that it used to be that you could hear a sermon not having to go to church but looking at somebody's life. Amen, somebody? But I find oftentimes now that many of folks who go to church, the folks on their job don't even know they're saved. Amen, somebody. Folks in their neighborhoods don't even know they're Christian because we have detached this whole thing. And even when we are celebrating being Christian, we still celebrate it with a side of thug life to it. Amen, somebody. We still celebrate it with a side of thug life. You all have seen on Instagram or on social media that people say, I'm Christian, but you can still catch these hands. Amen. Because even when we're talking about being saved, we still think we got to throw in a caveat that, but I will still sin. Oh, I can't get no help up in here because that just, I'm sorry, low blow. Amen, somebody. But no, I understand you're trying to show folks, look, I'm saved, but you're not going to get over on me. I'm saved, but I'm saved, but I'm still rugged and I'm still rowdy and bout it. I get it, and I'm not trying to take that totally out of context. But I do want to say that one of the challenges in the Christian culture right now is that we want to claim Christianity, but a lifestyle that does not match it. That we want to be able to talk about salvation, but our lifestyle, our weekly living does not match it. And we've forgotten about the fact that it does matter how you live. I know I'm not going to get a whole bunch of shouts today. It's okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you come to shout, come next week. Reverend Bill will be back. Amen, somebody. Reverend Bill will be back. But the reality is that we've forgotten about the fact that your lifestyle does matter. Amen, somebody. That how you live does matter. I wish we could get something to go viral that says people mess with me, but my forgiveness game is strong. Everybody want to tell me about how their fallback game is strong, their cutoff game is strong. Want to tell me how many people you can delete, how many people you can block, how strong you are at being anti, but nobody's talking about how strong they can be at doing the hard things of Christ. That personal piety matters. It matters. It matters. And my brothers and my sisters, I want to tell you it matters because in many times you don't realize your life depends on it. You don't realize your life depends on it because there are certain things that are connected to your lifestyle. I'm sorry. Reverend Doctor, I'm sorry I had to do this before you go into the surgery. Amen, somebody. I know you want us to celebrate. But there are certain things. I want you to look. If we look at Scripture, here we find Noah. And here we find Noah. And Noah is sitting there. And God looks over at all the world, and all the world is evil. But God says, in the midst of all the evil of the world, there's one dude trying to live right. And so because he's trying to live right, I'm going to talk to him about what to do for the salvation of his family. The only thing that differentiated Noah from the rest of the world was he decided to try to live right. Somebody here, I want to tell you that God wants to do something through you, but it's time for you to differentiate yourself from the rest of the world with the way you're living. One of the first things I believe you've got to understand, if you understand that your personal piety, if you understand that how you live connects to what you are called to do, is it when you live right, when you walk with God, when you try to do right by God, it'll allow you to get the forecast. Turn to your neighbor and say, check the weather, check the weather. Check the weather. Interesting thing to me when I look at this scripture, I look at the fact that the Bible says that Noah was blameless before God for his generation, and it said, and he walked with God. Amen. It's something about being close to God. It's something about taking the time to spend some time with God. It's something about taking the time to communicate with God. It's something about walking with God. One of the challenges, my brothers and sisters, as many of us, the most time we spend with God is on Sunday morning. The most time we spend been with God is on Sunday morning and when we say the grace over our food. That's about it. Sunday morning and grace over our food. But the world gets everything else. The world's music gets everything else. The world's TV shows gets everything else. The world's videos get everything else. The world's social media gets everything else. The world's conversations get everything else. And we only spend a small part of our time. And if you only spend a small part of your time listening and walking with God, then you'll never hear the forecast. That some of us are spending so much time setting up our hot girls and hot boys summer that we can't hear God saying, get in the house, it's about to rain. That God's trying to tell you a storm is on the way, but you're spending so much time being hot that you don't see that rain is on the way. And God is saying, get yourself in. Here you have Noah, and here you have Noah, and everybody else is doing whatever they want to do, but Noah's the only one that hears God say, Noah, you got to build a boat. It's an amazing thing to me because you got to remember that God told Noah to build a boat, but there was no water around. God didn't tell Noah to build a boat by the ocean. God didn't tell Noah to build a boat next to the river. God told Noah to build a boat right where you are because water is on the way. It didn't look like water was on the way. It didn't seem like water was on the way. It didn't seem like no clouds was in the sky. But the flood was on the way. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. And God said, Noah, build a boat. God's trying to talk to somebody here today that you've been wondering why you keep getting sideswiped by storms and sideswiped by floods and stuff. Keep surprising you. It's because you're not spending enough time talking to the one that can give you the forecast about what's about to happen in your life that God wants to tell you, but you don't spend no time with God. But if you will dare spend some time with God, then God will let you know, look, it's about time for you to get ready. You got to build a boat. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, build a boat. Reverend Doctor, I remember grandmama, sometimes it could be a cool day outside, it could be a nice day outside, it could be a sunny day outside, and grandmama would say, baby, you better get an umbrella. I'd be like, why, grandmama? Channel 4 ain't said to get no umbrella. Why? Grandmama, back then you used to call the weather, the 936 number. Wasn't that the joint? Anybody remember that joint? Amen, somebody used to call the weather. Y'all don't know about that. That's black history. Amen, somebody used to call the weather. Amen. To see what, have I got a at least somebody here know what I'm talking about? Anybody here remember calling the time? Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. Wasn't no cell phones back then. We used to call the time and call the weather. Used to call the weather. Amen, somebody. My grandmama ain't need to call no weather because my grandmama would say, baby, you better get an umbrella because it feels like rain. I don't know how she knew it, but something. She said, I feel rain in my bones. Amen, somebody. And my grandmama would give me a forecast. And my grandmama's forecast was always on. The weatherman may say sunny and no rain, but my grandmama say, baby, it feels like rain. And I would go and I'd get my umbrella because before that day was over. Amen, somebody. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because I was in conversation, Lord have mercy, with somebody who could give me a forecast about what I was about to face. I've come by to talk to somebody here today to tell you you got to spend a little bit more time with God so that God can give you the warning about what's about to happen. It's some folks creeping up in your life that God wants to let you know they ain't good for you. But because you spend more time talking to them than talking to God, you wonder why you always end up in the same old mess. But I've come by to let somebody know when you spend time with the Lord, you'll get the forecast. The second thing, one, you'll get the forecast, but the second thing is you'll get the plan and the strength. Turn to your neighbor and say, plan and strength. You get a two for one. A two for one. When I look at the scripture, is it God didn't just tell Noah that it's going to rain, but God gave Noah a plan on how to deal with the storm on the way. God gave Noah a plan on how to deal with what he was about to face. Now, I want y'all to understand that the rain that was about to come wasn't no regular rain. Amen, somebody? The rain that was about to come was not a regular rain because what ended up happening was it didn't just rain from up. It also kind of came up from below. Amen? amen, somebody? It said that God opened up the floodgates of heaven. And so the rain came from above, but also it said that from the depths, amen, somebody, that God let the rain come up out of the sea, out of the floor. I don't know where the water came from. It wasn't just regular condensation water, amen, somebody. It was flood the world water. But God said, there's about to be a whole lot of water, but let me give you the plan. God said, but Noah, I need you to build it like this, and told him to get a cypress wood, and told him to pitch it, and told him to make rooms in it, and told him how big it would be and how long it would be. That God gave him the plan. Somebody here, if you'll spend enough time with God, God will give you the plan about how to get through the storm. And the challenge is that you see you in the midst of a storm and you don't know how to get through it because you're spending too much time in a pity party talking to your friends about how bad the storm is instead of talking to God about how to get a plan to get through it. You got to build the boat. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, build the boat. I know you don't see no water just yet, but build a boat. Can you picture how crazy it must have looked for Noah to be building a boat in the midst of a dry season? Can you picture how crazy it must have been? How everybody was talking about Noah and talking about his family. Can you picture how that must have wore him down? But God didn't just give him the plan, but God gave him some strength. And that's what I like about God, that God won't just give you a plan to do it, but God will give you the strength to do it. I'm not just talking about the physical strength. I'm talking about the emotional strength. I'm talking about the mental strength. That what does it take to be working on a boat in a dry land, in a dry season, and everybody talking about you like you a fool? You know what you heard? You know what you're supposed to do? You know what God said do? You know how God said do it? But everybody else is having a good time doing whatever they want to do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Everybody else sleeping around with everybody else, and you trying to be like God said do, and they telling you you ain't never gonna get nobody, but you saying, but I'm gonna trust God. I know, Lord have mercy, I feel a little lonely sometimes, but I'm gonna trust God, and God will give you the strength, and God will give you the mental fortitude to do right by God. Is there anybody in the house that knows what it's like to take a stand for justice in the midst of a dry land? Bless you, Dr. Pitts. I've been watching you on MSNBC trying to speak truth to power to a crazy number 45. But don't you get weary in well doing. You keep on fighting. I thank God for Sister Hardy, who's been doing Guns Down Friday, that every Friday ride through the hood, dealing with folks who have been dealing with violence. They building a boat, an ark of safety for our people. She went and bought her own van and made it a mobile trauma unit. Because, baby, she building a boat, an ark of safety. Is there anybody in here that God's given you a plan on how to take care of our people? Is there anybody in here God's given you a plan? Don't you get weary. Don't you get tired. Don't you get stuck, but you keep on building the boat. God will give you a plan and God will give you strength. But the third thing is God will give you a promise. God will give you a promise. I thank God that when I look at Scripture, what we find is that Noah built the boat and the storm came and the earth was enveloped. And every living thing on earth was killed. But after 40 days and 40 nights on the boat, that all of a sudden God brought them to dry land. Brought them to dry land, and God had a conversation with Noah. God said, Noah, I know I just did a rough thing with that storm. But because you were doing right, I want to make a promise to you. Somebody here, if you just try to do right, God shaped a covenant with you. I didn't say you got to be perfect. I just said try to do right. You just try to do your part. Lord, have mercy. God will do God's part. God said, I got a covenant with you. I'm making a promise with all of humanity that my promise is that the storm will never come that will kill everybody again. There will never be a flood big enough. And he said, and to make sure that you know it, I put a rainbow in the sky that every time, Lord have mercy, I put my clouds out, I'm going to make my rainbow come up. Now, here's what gets me. God didn't say to remind you. God said so I can remind me, Lord have mercy, of the covenant I made with you. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that God got reminders in his phone. I'm so glad that God has something. See, every now and then on my phone, if I'm about to forget an appointment or something, I got it set to remind me. Anybody got that function on your phone? So I may forget what I was supposed to do, but then the reminder will pop up about where I'm supposed to be at that moment. I thank God. God used the rainbow as a Holy Ghost reminder, not just to remind you, but to remind God that I made a covenant and a promise to Noah that everything was going to be all right. Now, what gets me is that in order for God to do a reminder, God had to go through a little bit more than what I have to do. You see, when I do a reminder, I just plug it in on my phone. But what God did when God did a reminder was God worked in the scientific nature of the world and took water molecules and had them bump into light rays and allowed the water molecules to be a prism and to separate the colors of the light so that therefore it showed every color of the light. That's what makes a rainbow. See, a rainbow ain't just up there, but you've got the water molecules. And as the light hits the water, the water separates, Lord have mercy, every color in the light. See, the light looks one way to you, but when it hits the water, it shows everything that was in the light becomes revealed. I'm trying to help somebody here today, because I've come by to let you know that in this season in your life, God wants to reveal everything that's in the light in your life, that if you'll just try to do right, that God wants to show you everything that God has for you. I'm so glad that God made a promise. God promised that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. God promised that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Jesus said that I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. When you get a little bit tired, you can remember the promise that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall walk and not get weary, walk and not faint. Have I got anybody in here that thanks God for the promise? I like the promise that for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. Anybody had God take care of you in the time of trouble? I like the promise that says, he shall prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I like the promise that says that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Have I got anybody in the house that's got the promise that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble? I'm so glad that when it gets a little rough and it gets a little hard, I can hold on to the promise, like Paul said, that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Say yeah for the promise. Somebody give God glory for the promise. Said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Will be with you to the very ends of the world. Said I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That as I was with Moses, as I was with Abraham, so I'll be with you. See, yeah. Somebody give God glory. Build your boat. Build your boat so your children can be safe. Build your boat so your neighborhood can be safe. Build your boat so you can give generational wealth to your family. Build your boat so this community is never the same. Build
your boat.
Hallelujah. Won't you stand all over the church, all that are able? I'm not telling you you got to be perfect. I'm telling you you got to be trying. I'm telling you it matters how you live. I'm telling you that what would have happened to the world if Noah didn't try to live right? One person living right can save the world. One person making a stand can transform a community. One person holding on to God's hand can make the difference in a generation in your family. Somebody says, why me, Reverend? Why not you? If nobody else is going to do it, God's got you in the right place at the right time. Your family been dealing with the same mess for generations. It needs to stop with you. Your children don't need to keep going through the mess you've been going through for generations in your family. One bad relationship after another bad relationship, one failed situation after another failed situation, one bout of poverty after another bout of poverty. Your children don't need to keep going through that. You can change it. It can stop with you right now. But you got to have some discipline. And you got to build the boat. You got to say some no's when you want to say yes. You got to say some yeses when you want to say no. You got to say some goodbyes when you really want to say hello. And you got to say some hellos when you really want to say goodbye. Is that making sense to somebody? You got to block them when you really want them to call you. I can't get no help up in here, but I know I'm talking a good word. You got to throw away the number. You got to get the joint out your files. You got to get the joint out the cloud. You got to block them on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest. You got to block them off of everything. I'm talking about if there's any way they can get at you. You got to block them off MySpace. You got to block them off of Black Planet. Get them off your old Black Planet page, amen? Don't let it be no way that you can remember how to get their number. You don't need no way to find their number in the midnight hour. Have I got one witness that can be honest enough? There's some numbers you don't need to find it. Anybody here ever went back looking for an old number? Became like a detective, amen, somebody? Searched through old papers in the house. I can't get no help. I'm not the only one in here. Tell the truth to shame the devil, amen? Went through old trash cans, went through old files, went through old emails. I'm talking about you was looking through email addresses you ain't used in 20 years. Amen, somebody. Using you look through your old AOL email. Amen, somebody. You looking through your old AOL account just trying to find stuff. You done looked on Facebook to search for somebody you ain't seen in 10 years. Amen, somebody. The devil is a liar. The shift can happen, but you got to say some no's to yourself. And when you say no to you, God can say yes to purpose, yes to possibility, yes to the change. Amen, somebody? If you're in the house today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we say it every Sunday. You heard me say it earlier today.